on the air, everywhere. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Whatever. Here we go. Hey, it's Ron Van Dam Show. I'm Ron Van Dam. What a coincidence. What are the chances of that, huh? You tune into the Ron Van Dam Show and a guy's sitting there with the name Ron Van Dam. How does that happen? Who lets this happen? Impossible. Don't let it happen again. Stop it. Just stop it. Oh, yeah. Hey, pleasure to be with you on this fine day. It's Monday, whatever, 2000, whatever. Whatever. Who cares anymore, right? After 2008, who cares? That, I don't know what that meant either. Hey, how you doing? Hey, wait a minute. You're looking really good today. Now, are those your eyelashes? Seriously. Because they look a lot longer than they were last week. How did that happen so quickly? Are you taking some kind of biotin or something for your eyelashes? Eyelashotin or something? Because your lashes are really long. My God, you look like some kind of a lash freak. These things happen. Men, I was talking last week about hair that goes amok. That when you get to your second part of life, which is part two, that your hair starts going freaky. It gets wild. And you got hair coming out of places you never had before. I'm not going to go through that again because that like already happened. But my God, it also happens with eyebrows. I failed to mention that last week. Eyebrows. I actually have Mexicans come in and landscape my eyebrows. That's an awful thing to say. That is so profilingly racist. I can't believe I said that. I actually love Mexico. I think it's wonderful. I love their food, too. The Mexican food of the Mexican people. It's just wonderful. I don't quite understand it, though. It's what a happy culture that is, by the way. And But I don't understand the food because what they have is stuff rolled up in flour shit. It's just all it is. It's you can have, you know I'm right, you can have ground beef or shredded beef, we'll call it beef, chicken or pork or just cheese rolled up in some type of a flour thing. That's all they have. So you can have a burrito. You can have a chimichanga, you can have a taco, you can have an enchilada, you can have a manapato, a picolato, a facapitis, a bachispastin, which is just rolled up stuff. It's just all rolled up stuff with stuff and cheese on it. That's all. And the only side dish for Mexican food is refried beans. Someone fried the beans and said, that doesn't look enough like puke to me. Let's refry them until they look like someone already ate them and then regurgitated them. It shouldn't be called refried beans. It should be called regurgitated beans. Now, that's a tasty concept. And then they have rice. Rice is, you know, in many cultures, rice is a standard. So it's rice, beans that somebody else already ate. Hopefully it was a nice person. I wouldn't want to eat the regurgitated beans of a bitch. You don't want to do that because then you take on their personality. Oh, what a wonderful movie that would be. And the Mexican who took on the personality of the person that already ate the beans. I was a nice person. I went to a Mexican restaurant. I had the regurgitated beans, and all of a sudden I became a plumber, and I was just fixing pipes all over the place, and I got in trouble for fixing pipes that weren't even broken yet, and I got mean. I just got really mean about it, too. And there's your Mexican cuisine pretty much in a hat shell. And, of course, you have to have a margarita with it. I don't know who this woman is. Some woman named Marguerite, she just had a drink, and that's what they call it there. And you got to put salt on the rim of that thing. They started putting motor oil on the rim of the glass of the margarita, and they found people were not taken too kindly to that, even though it went down easy. So they said, well, we could put sugar around it. And they go, yeah, you know, we got the problems with that. How about salt? Salt. There you go. Everybody's trying to cut back on their sodium intake. Let's put salt on the rim of the drinks. I'll never know the difference. Anyway, that's the Mexican cuisine. That's the cuisine that I will make fun of today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's cold outside. What are you going to be wearing today?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
It's our daily segment that borders on perversion. Today, temperatures in the New England area are going to vary from 30 degrees to as high as 38 degrees in some areas. An 8-degree variance, oh my God, break out the champagne. So in some parts of the area, here's your weather report for everybody that doesn't live here. In some parts of the area, it's going to rain. Some parts here, it's going to snow. In other parts, it's just going to, volcanoes. I have no idea what's going on, to be honest with you. I'm not a meteorologist. Sometimes I think they just have a giant wheel in their office and they spin it, and if it comes up volcano, then that means volcano. I think that's how that works. No, actually, it's actually a very scientific thing. People go to school for this thing. I open up my window and whatever, you just become friends with people with arthritis because they can tell you when it's going to rain a day ahead of time. That's all you need, just some arthritis, rain-sensitive person who's sensitive to moisture and stuff. Personally, my hair starts to frizz about a day before, so I go by my hair follicles. That's my weather map, pretty much. Not a big deal. If there's a ring around the moon, it means it's going to snow. That's the night before. I got this figured out. A lot of people use groundhogs to see if there's going to be a long winter. I use a gerbil on a string, and I think I'm going to just leave it at that. All I can say is when it pokes its head out and doesn't see its shadow, I'm into a party. So I don't know what to tell you on that. So anyway, so when you go to the bus stop today, kids, and I'm addressing the kids who obviously don't listen to this program whatsoever. And by the way, they shouldn't. My God, if you got a kid that listens to this program, take them out, man, because this is not good. This is just not good. I don't say anything that's awful. I really don't. I'm really a nice guy. So that's not the problem. It's just that I don't believe kids should be exposed to me. I mean, I don't mean it that way. I mean, exposed to me in exposure sense. I just mean that the things that I say probably are not a great thing for a kid to get involved with is all I'm saying. I want your kids to be, you should be an influence on your kids, not me, not some talk show host who pretty much doesn't even know what he's talking about half the time. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen. You make sure that you're a good kid. All right. Now, here's what you should wear to the bus stop. Wear one of those, what do you call them? Wear your glasses. That's it. Wear your glasses today, just in case you want to see. Mittens attached to your sleeves. That's definite today. Mittens attached to your sleeve and socks attached to your pants. Please wear the socks attached to your pants. Now, for the ladies who are in their mid-20s to 30, I suggest you wear as little as possible today.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Yeah, okay. This is why don't let the kids.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Well, not really. I don't do it on purpose, if I do it at all. And I don't, so I do, but I don't. Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, oh yeah, that's really fair. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. We're here Monday through Friday, which they call weekdays now. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And you can start listening to us around, 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning. Sometimes it's a little bit later. Sometimes Tori Wainwright joins us. She's on the later side of life sometimes. I mean, as far as when we do the thing. And you'll find her podcast with me on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, usually at about 9:30 in the morning. And there's your schedule. I hope you spend every day with me. Seriously, I'm lonely. Hey, I gotta tell you, apparently, see, we podcast in the Boston area. Well, that's where it originates. It really doesn't make any difference where I am. I could be sitting in my bathroom in Ontario, Canada, and still same thing, same results. So it doesn't really matter. I could be sitting in a hotel room in Singapore, and it would sound exactly the same. In the background, you might hear like frogs or something. And I don't know if they have frogs in Singapore, and I don't know why I said that. But I'm not going to start all over again because I'm already like 15 minutes into the show, and I wouldn't want to go crazy there. The Boston school system, the chancellor of Boston schools, the school czar, whatever, is considering again, this has not happened, this has happened before, they're considering extending the school day 40 minutes longer. So the kids would get to school at the same time they get to school now, they would sit through all their boring classes, and then when it came time to leave, it wouldn't happen. They'd be staying another 40 minutes. Why it's 40 minutes and not 45, I have no freaking idea. They come up with 40 minutes. That's the number they came up with. And they would extend the school day by 40 minutes. And of course, kids, I mean, don't even ask your kids about it. They certainly would want to have like a 2-minute school day if they could. So they're asking people, do you think that the school day in Boston should be extended by 40 minutes? At this time, I shall give my opinion to you. And the answer is, what are you freaking kidding me? For what purpose? And then they got tweets and stuff. And apparently a lot of people say, hey, 40 minutes longer in school per day means 40 minutes of more learning. And I say to them, have you ever been to school before? Do you kind of understand that if you stayed another 40 minutes in the afternoon, your mind would not be in that schoolroom? Maybe you have to keep your ass in the schoolroom all day, but your mind is going to be like somewhere else, anywhere. You could be on a beach somewhere, or your mind can be sitting in a movie theater. You can't control the mind of a child. They don't want to be there 40 minutes longer. When you've already set the precedent that the precedent of the United States, when you've already said, okay, school is over for decades and decades, kids go home. And then you say, no, you got to start another, stay another 40 minutes. Oh my God, they'd go crazy. There'd be uprisings. It'd be awful. And of course, parents, you know, let's face it. To many parents, to many single parents, and there are so many of them now, and you don't have to be a single parent. You can even be a parent who still has another parent with them. But school, yeah, it's a foundation of education. Yeah, all that kind of crap. I buy it. I hear it. No child left behind. Make sure that they're always in front of you. And you know, don't leave them places. Don't leave them behind in shopping malls, you know, and then pick them up the next. Don't leave them behind. But schools are not places of education to parents. Why do I sound like Bill Cosby all of a sudden? Schools are not places. Because they are babysitting locations. You drop your kid off in the morning. The bus picks it up. The limo comes, whatever the case may be. And you don't see your kid again until the middle of the afternoon, late afternoon. And that's just fine because you get to do stuff. You have to work. You got to earn money to pay for the freaking kid. So you got to work and make arrangements for someone to be there when the kid gets home because you can't go. And in your mind, you're working and, oh, my child's home alone. Oh, my goodness. Are there people breaking in like just like in the movie and sliding down the stairs and paint buckets fall on their heads and stuff like that? Is that going on in my home? I need the babysitter. I need the school babysitter. That's what schools are. They're babysitters. And in many cases, schools are also parents. Schools teach your kids what you can't teach them. Not because you're smart, too smart to teach them. Not that I'm screwing that one up. Not because you're not smart enough to teach them, but because the schools are doing it for you. They say, no, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Yeah, we'll teach them the reading and the writing and the English and the history and all that kind of stuff. And all right, you're busy. We'll teach them ethics too. And yeah, we'll keep them off drugs for you. Do you want us to feed them lunch? Ah, we'll feed them lunch too. Breakfast? What, are you kidding me? You can't give them breakfast before? All right, we'll feed them breakfast if they come to the school early enough. You want us? All right, we'll bathe them. We'll bathe them for you. We'll have a bathtub in the school. We'll bathe them. All right, fine. We'll take care of that too. What, they don't run around your house? They don't play in your backyard? You don't have a backyard? All right, tell you what, we'll do some sports programs after school. We'll take care of the sports thing too, okay? We'll take care of that too. Schools have become the parents. So 40 minutes longer is just, it's just absurd. It's just ridiculous. Why not do another 6 hours? I mean, seriously, why not keep them there through dinner, feed them, you know, a little steak and eggs, maybe some Mexican food. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I tell you what, don't even send the kid home. Forget the 40 minutes later of school day. Let's make it another 8 hours. We'll put him to bed for you. We'll have beds set up in the school. We'll put him to bed and we'll put him in their pajamas. Yeah, just send him with pajamas. Maybe send him an overnight bag or something. And yeah, we'll put him to bed for you. We'll read him a story. We'll read him a story by the English teacher because you might, if you're going to hear a story, let's make it a story where they can learn something. You know, we'll read War and Peace to them. It'll take like 5 years to do it, but we'll do that, okay? We'll take care of it. You know what? You don't even have to have the kid. We'll adopt the kid. We'll take on the kid, and we'll raise the kid, and you don't even have to see the kid. You can come weekends if you want to, but you don't even have to come weekends. We'll take care of the kid. We'll become the kid's parents, no problem. That's what eventually happens. And you know, as I've said, you know, this school schmool stuff, school is only what the kid allows. It's not, I mean, you got to have a good teacher. You got to have, you know, this union stuff. I'm sure they should be paid very well because they influence a child. I remember my grade school teachers. One of them was really hot, man. Wow, she was hot. I was only like 8 years old, but she was hot. And I think she taught me more than what you learn in school. She taught me how to appreciate a fine woman. And I was only 8 years old, you know, and I wasn't going to do anything about it. But yeah, I had a crush on her. Sure I did. That's normal. I hope I'm normal. I think that's normal. Now, I didn't have sexual deviant thoughts about her or anything like that. I wanted to bring her apples, man. I wanted to open up a fruit store in her pants. I don't know how to put this tastefully, but I wanted to bring her an apple. I wanted to be the teacher's pet. I wanted to lie on my back and have her stroke my stomach. At 8 years old, you know, it's healthy. It's healthy stuff. That's the education I'm talking about. This history stuff and this how to read and how to write and this math stuff, it's not important anymore. It's not important. You don't need math. You don't need math. You got to carry a calculator in your pants or just take out your smartphone and keep that calculator app on the, you know, when you open up the phone, when it's prominent there. You don't need it. You know, everybody knows basic math. I mean, no one's walking around and going, 3 plus 2? You got me stumped here, babe. I got to take my calculator out. No, I don't. You know, come on. Everybody learns that. Parents can teach their kids math. You know, here's an allowance. Here's an allowance of $20. I guarantee you'll learn math really quickly when you start spending some of that and you got to figure out how much is left and what the change would be. Don't worry about that. Or just get a job at McDonald's as a cashier. You'll learn about math right there really, really quickly when your bank is short, you know, at the end of the night. You know, they go, hey, Francesco, where's the other $6?
I don't know. Maybe I made a mistake. Well, all right, $6 out of your pocket, honey.
Yeah, that's how you learn. History, what the hell? It already happened. It happened, yes. Why are you teaching me stuff that already happened? Ron, because you can learn from the past. Yeah, I know, but not like history-wise. Like, I don't care what happened like 6 years ago. I care about a failed relationship. I'll never go out with anybody like her again. That's history to me. That I can learn, and that I will learn anyway, whether you try to teach it to me or not. If George Washington had wooden teeth, what the hell do I care? Get a dental plan. Don't start talking to me about it. Lincoln freed the slaves. Good. Okay. Look, I just told you that. It took like 3 seconds to tell you that. Why the hell am I sitting in a classroom for 5 years? Learning a simple fact like that, I appreciate it. By the way, if I'm interested, if Lincoln freed the slaves, and it was interesting, with the Underground Railroad, for the longest time, I thought that was the subway system. I'll ask questions if I'm interested. English? Hey, look around, man. Most people can't speak it anyway. Why should you? And most people who do speak English don't know how to speak English well. They grammatically get things all screwed up, so what's the point? You teach everybody English, and then you listen to a rap song that is totally grammatically incorrect. What's the point of this? Why teach people things that everybody else is not doing? I'm sorry, are not doing. Extend the school day 40 minutes. My ass. Extend my ass 40 minutes. That makes no sense whatsoever. But extend your ass 40 minutes. What does that mean? What that makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah, maybe I should go back to school. I have no idea. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a more program. Don't go anywhere because something's going to happen all the time.
Hi, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's new favorite restaurant.
Here we go. It's called...
It's Headshots. Jesus, give me a minute, would you?
Sorry.
Hey, do you love calamari? Then you need to come to Headshots this month for our Carnival of Calamari. That's right, we got tons of great recipes all made with delicious chicken.
Calamari.
You gotta try our famous 1-2 punch pasta loaded with shrimp.
Also says calamari.
How about a nice beef lo mein piccata? And our spicy school bus fried diavolo? Forget about it. You've never had calamari until you've had the Eiffel Tower at Headshots during our carnival of I Could Have Knocked Joe Frazier on His Ass back in the day.
Oh my God.
Come in and ask for me, Bobby Calamari. Bobby Headshots. I'm the guy that owns the place.
That's a group called The Misses, of which only some of them are married. It's an all-girl group. They were with us about 4 months ago on the program, and this is a very popular song that they have released, and it's a women's movement. It's women that move around, pretty much. I always thought a women's movement was sitting on the toilet and taking a little crapper there, baby, but that's not the women's movement. Apparently, that's not what that means. So again, I was off by a little bit. Man. Ever tell you the story about this girl that which France is very much in the news, by the way, and I'll get into that in a second. But I was in a French class. I took French when I was in high school and junior high school as well, which many of you call middle school. Because junior high is a lot to say at once. Most people are taking Spanish. I took French because I found it to be a very romantic language, and I thought it was wonderful. So did I ever tell you this story? Wait a minute. Did I ever tell you the time that I was in French class? Did I... this is getting shut up, lady. I mean, man, seriously.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
All right, here's a funny story. It's a funny story. Now, you know how this works, ladies and gentlemen. If I tell you a funny story, then when it's over, you have to say out loud, "Wow, Ron, that was a funny story." Okay? Try this. Go on. Come on. "Wow, Ron, that was a funny story." That's all you have to do. I don't ask a lot of you. You don't have to pay for this. I do, kinda. Actually, you're paying for it, but you're not paying for it. The pod host is paying for this, not you. That's the best kind of paying in the world. I get to listen and enjoy this, and I don't have to pay a dime. Somebody else pays for me. That's really cool. So I'm taking French, and French is a horrible language. It sounds really sweet and romantic. I don't know. I look in your eyes, and I see people, and I see pus coming out of the middle of it, and you're so beautiful, you're so nice. That's English, but that's with the French accent. So I wanted to take French. I thought that was the language of romance. So I took it like for 5 years, because I failed a couple of them, and I was left back. Not left back, but I had to take it again. They had French 1, French 2, French 3, French 4. And I took French 1 like 3 times. And then I was fluent in it. It was affluent in it. I was bathing in it. There was this girl named Sloane, and Sloane sat in front of me, and she always smelled wonderful. She had an odor to her. It was perfume or something that she was wearing, or her skin was just lovely. Something about her, man. And she was pretty, and she had long brown hair that basically touched the curvature of her back, which was just marvelous. So this hair would go flowing over the curvature, and one long strand of hair on her back would just about touch her ass cheek. And again, you know, I'm in middle junior high school, and I'm starting to feel my oats, and you know where my oats are located. You know, you start to really get the sexual urges when you're in junior high school. You know, it's like in chemistry class, the teacher draws a test tube on the chalkboard and everybody breaks out laughing. That's not funny. It's not funny to draw a test tube on the board. It is if you're in junior high school and it looks like an upside down penis. Or right side up, depending on your preference. But that's junior high school. Everything has sexual connotations, and sexual connotations are funny. I got to tell you something. When I'm having sex, I'm not laughing. In junior high school, it was funny. Now, it's serious stuff. So she sat in front of me, and she just smelled wonderfully. And it was awful because she sat in front of me. So I was totally distracted through the entire French class. The French teacher would be talking French and teaching us, and I just was... It's the language of love, ladies and gentlemen. And in front of me is this woman. And I'm, you know, I'm not old enough to appreciate that, but I sure wanted to. So what did I do in order to get her attention every once in a while? I would crack a joke in French. And I would do like half the sentence in French and half of it in English. And then the classroom would... So I was the class clown in the French class, which is why I had to take it three times in a row. Because I was more interested in making jokes about it than I was learning French. French is very difficult, man. There's like... Did you know that words can either be masculine or feminine? What? Why? Why would a word be masculine or feminine? I don't think the French even know this. What? I mean, you're trying... Here's a girl sitting in front of me, and every word is a male or a female? I mean, God, I only want to learn the female words. So she's sitting in front of me. And one day, oh man, I'll never forget this day. She turns around and she actually looks at me, and I went, what's going on? She's looking at me. And she said, can I ask you a favor? I said, yes, you can. Certainly you can. She said, stop it with the stupid French stuff. She says, we're having a test tomorrow. I didn't know that. I was paying attention to her hair. I didn't hear about any damn test going on tomorrow. I'm having a test tomorrow, and I wondered if you can help me. If I can help you, man, I'm taking this thing like three times over. What? Why would you ask me for help? Because I don't think anybody else would do it. And you look like a schmuck, and you probably are really enthralled with the length of my hair and my curvaceous, lovely body and the smell of my body and the perfume that I wear. And I figure you're a pushover and I can get anything I want out of you. Not sexually, certainly, but just to help me study. Of course, I was insulted, but my response was, sure. So she actually says I can come over to her house. Now, I knew where she lived because it was a small town and everybody knew where everybody lived. And we all had binoculars and looked through everybody's windows. You know what I'm saying? So she said, well, can you come over like after dinner at like 7 o'clock? I said, oh, yeah, I might be busy. I might have to. Yeah, be there. I'll be there. So that night, and man, I'm so happy at dinner, and my parents are saying, "You going over to Sloan's house?" And we understand. I said, "Yeah, yeah, I go over to Sloan's house." I said, Ron, we never saw you so happy. Now, this was the first time in my life that I understood what the word anticipation meant, and I didn't know what it was in French, but in English, I was feeling this anticipation. I was actually looking forward to something. It used to be like Halloween, eating my candy, or Christmas, opening my gifts, lame family things like that. But I had never really looked forward and been excited about doing something until I knew I was going over to Sloan's house. It just opened up a world of possibilities. Will there be Chicka Bow Wow music in the background? Will she have a gigantic circular bed that revolves? Will she greet me in a negligee? I don't even know what negligee meant. I just thought it was a cool word. So tons of things are going on in my mind. It's the first time, really, that this overly attractive, sensual woman was asking me to keep company with her for whatever reason. I don't care what. But of course, the mind was running rampant. And I took a shower after dinner, and my family is, you know, they're happy that I'm going. But they're kind of ribbing me. Oh, look, Ron taking a shower. Ron taking a shower. That doesn't happen. And I'm putting on some nice clothes, and I put a little dash of cologne behind my ears, you know what I'm saying? Just in case my ears are utilized in any sense of the word, in case they get bitten or something. And I make my journey over to Sloan's house, and I just couldn't be happier. I was on my way to heaven, man. I was taking the fast train to heaven. And I get there, and I ring the doorbell to the Sloan house. And, we're kids, so it's not like Sloan's going to stand there in negligee. That's, like, basically impossible. Her parents would have to not be home. So I rang the door, and that's ridiculous. It's dinner time. Whose parents aren't home at dinner time? So I ring the doorbell, and she comes to the door, and I'm looking around and saying, well, where are your parents? And she said, oh, they're not here. They're not there. Did Sloan arrange for them not to be there? Are they locked in the basement? Are they in the trunk of the car? What did you do, Sloan? She said, no, they went out to a friend's house. They're playing cards tonight. Oh. Do they know that I'm coming over and that we'd be alone in the house? Oh, yeah, I told them it was you. They had no problem with it.
Oh, foiled again.
They had no problem with it. I was a little dejected, but still really happy.
She says, come on up to my room.
Wow. Okay. Come on up to my room. What's going to happen in your room? So up the stairs, she's walking up the stairs in front of me, and it was just like being in French class. I'm watching that hair bounce back and forth as the impact from her feet is or hitting the stairs as she's walking upstairs, and it's just I couldn't believe what was going on. I couldn't believe I was in her house. Walking up the stairs behind her on my way to her bedroom. We walk into the bedroom, and she's got her French book open on her bed. And she says, she sits on the edge of the bed, and she slaps her hand on the bed next to her and says those magic words that I'd been waiting to hear all my life, all my short little life.
Sit down.
Well, Sit down is the precursor to lie down, isn't it? So I sit next to her. And we're sitting there. And she says, all right, can you test me on the French quiz? I said, sure. And I picked up the book and I said, okay, what is bibliothèque? And she looks at me and she takes the book out of my hands, closes it, and throws it down on the bed. And I'm saying to myself, Ron, it's going to happen. She didn't want me up there to test her on her French quiz. She just threw the book on the bed. She wants me. I am her France. She looks at me and she says, I can't do this. I said, what can't you do? I can't do this. I said, what are you talking about? She said, I admit that I asked you over here to test me in French, but I want you. I want you to ravish me. I want you, because my parents aren't home, I want you to have your way with me, to bring me to another level of heaven. I want you to rock my boat, to swing my hammock, to fermer my bouche, to core my apple, to alleviate my stress. I said, wow, this is unbelievable. It's really going to happen. Then she said to me, where is that music coming from every time I say something? And I said, I don't know. It's done for theatrical purposes, I suppose. I really don't know. And then all of a sudden, she takes her hand and she places it next to my hand. And she takes my hand and leads me toward her body, and all of a sudden I become very dizzy and everything gets wavy and weird and vibrating and undulating and I don't know what's going on, and I hear that, and it's heart music, and you know what that means. This was only a dream. And the next voice I hear is my mother going, Ron, 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 wake up, wake up. You fell asleep. Aren't you supposed to be going over to Sloane's house to help her study her French? And I said, yeah, Mom. I gotta go over to Sloane's house to help her study her French.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes our best stories are formulated by dreams that never come true. But when you fall asleep, you enter into a world that isn't real. Perhaps sometimes fantasy, other times nightmare, but almost certainly not real. Based on reality, but not really true. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. You know what? maybe I'm not out of time. Let's throw this thing in here. Oh man, I don't know. Should we do this? Nah, I was going to play an interview that we did a few days ago, but I'm not in the mood. Okay, have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back tomorrow with more program. It'll be Tory Tuesday tomorrow. Tory will be joining me. Some back and forth conversation between us, bringing up some items that are going on around the world. We'll discuss them. Until then, I wish you peace. Goodbye to you, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you're just so wonderful.